Well, I hope you're enjoying these testimonies as much as the rest of us are. Let's have a moment of honesty, okay? Any of you here think you're at the 8 o'clock service and you're late? I mean, it was something. Was after the first service, one guy came up to me and he said, I don't even know if I'm going to come back. He said the guy I was sitting next to was sleeping through the whole service. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? He said, well, he was snoring so loud I couldn't go to sleep. So I hope you're going to be awake for this. The past several weeks in our sermons, we've been looking at people in the Bible who experienced transformation. In the past few weeks in the 1050 Bible class that I lead, we've been looking at what we're calling some saints and scoundrels in the story of Jesus from a book that's of that same title, written by an author named Nancy Guthrie. And there are really quite a few both saints and scoundrels in the story of Jesus. We're going to look today at an account of a man who was a scoundrel who, after his encounter with Jesus, became a saint. And we're going to look in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And if you have your Bibles, you want to use the Pew Bibles, you can open them. I think we're going to have a lot of these passages up on the screen. But what I want to do first is just walk through this account in Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for his last Passover that would result in his being tried, arrested, tried, and crucified during that weekend. And Luke tells us in verse 1 of 19, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He had to pass through Jericho to get to Jerusalem. And when he entered in there, there was a crowd welcoming him, as it were, at least watching him coming into Jericho, that would have been much smaller than later on the one that had gathered for his entry into Jerusalem. And Luke chapter 19, verses 2 to 4, introduce us to this scoundrel that we want to talk about today, who after his encounter with Jesus became a saint. Luke tells us a man was there in this crowd coming into Jericho. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now Luke introduces here to this man named Zacchaeus, and Luke tells us that he was a chief tax collector, not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector, and was wealthy. Now, we're going to learn a little bit more about him as we proceed through this passage, but note that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy, and that means that he was the chief tax collector over other tax collectors, and as I understand it from what I read, he got a cut out of what every other tax collector brought in, and it doesn't surprise us that this chief tax collector, Luke tells us, was wealthy. Luke also tells us that this chief tax collector wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, I don't know why he wanted to see Jesus, why he was out there that day, but perhaps he had heard about Jesus. And he heard the crowd gathering and the excitement of people wanting to see Jesus, and that crowd got his attention, and so he went out there to see Jesus, but of course, he couldn't see Jesus, and that's led to climbing the tree. Luke lets us know in verse 3 that Zacchaeus was so short that he could not see over the crowd. Now, a lot of us grew up going to church and children's church, and we know about Zacchaeus because in the children's classes we sang about him. You probably remember the lyrics that Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Remember that? We also used to do the motions. I'm not going to do that today because I don't want anybody to be jealous of me being a dancer. And a wee little man was he. Now, I find it very interesting that that wonderful, dynamic senior pastor of ours, Jim, you know, Jim Shelburne, I told him that I wanted to look at Zacchaeus in my sermon here, and he reminded me, and this kind of, don't tell him I said this, it's kind of irritating. He reminded me over and over again that since Zacchaeus was short, that my sermon should be short. And then, of course, Shane stole that from Jim in the greeting this morning, and I'll be talking to Shane down the line. Just kidding, Jim. Is he smiling? Somebody tell me. Now, Luke continues in verses 5 and 6. He says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down and welcomed him gladly. Now, it's quite plausible that prior to Jesus coming to Jericho, that Zacchaeus had heard of some of the exchanges that Jesus had in his teaching ministry with other tax collectors. You perhaps remember that one of Jesus' 12 apostles was a man named Matthew. And prior to being called by Jesus to be his follower, Matthew was a tax collector. And Matthew's experience with Jesus was similar to the experience that Zacchaeus is going to have. The Pharisees criticized Jesus when he ate with Matthew. In response to the criticism of Jesus eating with the tax collector Matthew, Matthew verses 12 and 13 in Matthew 9 tells us that Jesus said to these critics who were criticizing him for being with Matthew, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, I think based upon what Zacchaeus had probably heard about Jesus interacting with tax collectors, that he might have been wondering if Jesus would talk to him. Now, Luke doesn't tell us, but clearly, after he came down from that tree when Jesus called him down, Zacchaeus and Jesus went together to dine at Zacchaeus' house. So probably what Zacchaeus had heard about and what he was looking forward to took place because he had some private time with Jesus at his house. In verse 7, Luke tells us about the people who were there and heard this exchange between Jesus when he looked up and called down Zacchaeus. And Luke says, all the people saw this and began to mutter about Jesus. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. See, the Jewish people didn't like Zacchaeus because of his occupation as a tax collector. They thought of him as a traitor because he was collecting the taxes to give to Rome. And they knew that Zacchaeus was dishonest, that that's how he had become so wealthy. And they were criticizing Jesus for eating with Zacchaeus, and they knew that Zacchaeus was not a man of integrity, that he was a sinner. And one commentator I read suggested that Zacchaeus was the least likely of anyone there that day to become a convert. But the reality is that whomever Jesus ate with, he would be eating with a sinner. If Jesus ate with those who were criticizing him, he would still be eating with a sinner. And Jesus was glad to join with Zacchaeus for a meal at his house. I can't help but wonder when the last time was that this disliked Zacchaeus had hosted a dinner guest. The people, the only people that he probably ever had in his home before Jesus would be other tax collectors. Luke tells us in verse 8 that the results of Zacchaeus' life changing with Jesus became obvious after the meal. I'm not sure if there were others who heard what Zacchaeus said after he ate with Jesus and how Jesus responded to what he said, but Luke tells us that after they ate, Zacchaeus made this declaration that tells us about the impact of eating with Jesus had in his life. Luke tells us in verse 8, after the dinner, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look here, or look, Lord, Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. After dining with Jesus, Zacchaeus tells him that he's going to make things right. How, as the chief tax collector, he had taken advantage of the common people, and he wanted to make things right with them. He's going to be generous and give half of his possessions to the poor, some of whom, no doubt, he had cheated on the taxes. But not only is he going to do that, he's going to give back to those he has cheated four times the amount that he had taken. He wants that community to know that he is a changed man. And Jesus is pleased by what Zacchaeus says, and Jesus affirms him. In verse 9, Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." And then Jesus gives us this very important statement about why he came. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus not only affirms Zacchaeus' transformation, he also reaffirms his own purpose in coming as God's Messiah and the Christ. He had come to seek and to save the lost. And Zacchaeus was a man who clearly shows that. Because of his encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus had a radical change of character. It's a real-life example that confirms Jesus' teaching in the three parables he told in Luke 15 about the man who had 100 sheep and one wandered off, and he went and found that lost sheep and they rejoiced. There was a woman who had 10 coins, Jesus tells us, and she lost one in the house, and she brought the neighbor lady in, and they searched until they found it, and they rejoiced. And the third of those three parables is about a man who had two sons, and the younger one left and went to the far country, but he came to his senses in the parable and returned home, and his dad went out to greet him, and they partied. Now, having walked through this account and Luke 19, 1 to 10, I want us to look at it again from a little different perspective that I found very helpful. In my reading and preparing for the talk today, I came across a sermon by a pastor, Michael Milton, that seemed to perfectly summarize what I'm calling Zacchaeus' life-changing encounter with Jesus. Pastor Milton said that he imagined what it would be like to talk to Zacchaeus about what had happened. Isn't that an interesting premise, to have a one-on-one discussion with Zacchaeus after this all happened? What would Zacchaeus say about the incident in general, and what might he say about Jesus specifically? And I loved what this Presbyterian pastor suggested Zacchaeus would say about Jesus. The first thing he would probably say about Jesus is that he saw me. Now think about that and how much that might mean. Remember, Zacchaeus was a short man, and he wanted to see Jesus in the midst of the crowd, and in order to do that, he had to climb this tree, and lo and behold, he climbed the tree, and it worked. Because not only did Zacchaeus see Jesus, Luke tells us when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus. And he said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Now, some might think that is presumptuous, but Jesus not only saw Zacchaeus, he knew Zacchaeus, and he knew that Zacchaeus wanted to talk with him. You and I don't always see people around us, do we? I'm afraid sometimes we ignore people. I'm sure we've all had people tell us that they saw us somewhere, but we didn't see them, and I don't think we should feel badly about that because there's so much going on, but Jesus saw people, and there's a lot of meaning in that seeing someone. Even though Zacchaeus was vertically challenged, that's the proper way to say he was short, for those of you who didn't get that. Jesus, you're still sleeping, aren't you? It's going to get better. Jesus saw him. And not only did Jesus see Zacchaeus, he took interest in him. Zacchaeus was known by Jesus of what he was, that he was a despised tax collector who was thought by everybody else in town to be a crook who wasn't very well liked. But in that dinner exchange, if it was dinner or lunch, I don't know, there was something happening in the heart of Zacchaeus. I suggested earlier that perhaps he had heard some of the things that Jesus had said earlier before he got there and what Jesus had been saying and what he had been doing. In his commentary on this passage, John Calvin, the famous Reformation theologian, draws attention to the ministry of preparation of the Holy Spirit. John Calvin suggesting that even before Jesus came to Jericho, that by the Holy Spirit, God was working in the life of this man named Zacchaeus. All of us need to be reminded that the Jesus who saw Zacchaeus in the tree is the same Jesus who sees us today. He not only sees us, he knows what is going on in our lives, and he cares. And hopefully for many of us, we're open to the Holy Spirit being active in our hearts so that God can work in our lives, or for most of us, can continue to work in our lives. The second thing Pastor Milton suggested that Zacchaeus might say about Jesus is not only did he see me, he welcomed me. That's a big step, isn't it? Remember, Jesus called Zacchaeus down from the tree and he said, "We're going to your house to eat." It may sound strange to us that Jesus said he was going to Zacchaeus' house, but what Zacchaeus remembered, hopefully, was how Jesus welcomed him. Don't forget what Luke said in verse 6, "So he came down at once," that is Zacchaeus, "and welcomed him gladly." Not only did Zacchaeus welcome Jesus, Jesus welcomed Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was not a popular man and was probably not welcomed in too many places there in Jericho because of his occupation. But for Jesus to invite himself to Zacchaeus' house was a clear way for Jesus to welcome Zacchaeus to friendship or relationship with him. Many times you and I are not as welcoming as we might be to others, but Jesus is always welcoming to people who want to meet him. Jesus welcoming Zacchaeus as he did by going to his house to eat was out of the ordinary for Jewish people. Remember, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was not well thought of. And as the crowd accused Jesus of eating with someone, he was accused of eating with a sinner. When the people saw that Jesus went with him, they complained and criticized Jesus. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. And Jesus welcomed himself into the home of Zacchaeus, who was in fact a sinner, because he wanted to welcome Jesus into a relationship. Telling his story, Zacchaeus might also have said, "Yes, Jesus saw me in the tree, and he welcomed me when I came down, but perhaps most importantly, he changed me." The touch of Jesus changed Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus promised actions after his encounter with Jesus showed how much he had changed. Again, Luke makes it clear, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And then again, Jesus explains in verse 9, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You know, of course, that Jesus is still seeking and saving the lost. Jesus is still seeing people. He sees all of us today. Thank God Jesus is still welcoming people if they come to Him for a relationship, for a friendship, to have Him as Savior and Lord. And Jesus is still changing people today. Many of us here this morning have been found and saved. And we've witnessed family members and friends being found and saved. It was the providence of God, I think, that yesterday I was reading a book entitled Holy Ground, a new book that came on Friday, written by a man named Chris Castaldo. And he tells about being invited to a Wednesday night worship service when he was a young adult, where they had worship singing and preaching. And he tells about that experience that he'd never been to. And he wrote in this book, when it was over, this worship service he attended, he said, "I don't know how to properly describe what came next," after he'd been at this church service, "except that something within me changed. Similar to other converts like Augustine, Pascal, Luther, Newton, and countless others throughout history, there was a moment in which I encountered God in such a profound way that my life was permanently changed." A lot of us have had that experience, haven't we? And it may very well be that there's some here today who need that first-time life-exchanging encounter with Jesus. And if you do, please don't hesitate to speak to any of our pastors or staff or elders about your situation and your desire to have this relationship with Jesus because you've had an encounter with Him. It's also probably true that many of us who have in the past experienced an initial life-changing encounter with Jesus need to continue having those encounters. Maybe you've had one this morning, hearing again this account about Zacchaeus. And I want to challenge you and myself, and I want to encourage us to keep on joining with the body of Christ in worship, to continue reading our Bibles on our own, to continue to participate in a Bible class or a small group, and to continue serving others and knowing that through all those acts of living out the Christian life, we can continue to have encounters with Jesus because He sees us. He welcomes us. And He wants to continue to work in our lives to change us so that we will become more and more like Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this account in Luke's gospel of this short man who everybody knows he's short, who has such an amazing experience with Jesus. We thank You this morning that he climbed that tree and that Jesus looked up and saw him, and not only saw him, but welcomed him and dined with him and through that changed him. Thank You that You see us, Lord Jesus, that You welcome us into Your presence even when we've failed. And as You welcome us continually into Your presence, You continue to change us. Help us to be the kind of followers that You've called us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey church, we're so glad you tuned in today. If you need prayer or have questions about this week's message or what it means to follow Jesus, you can message us on Facebook or visit our contact page on our website at whackonline.org. If you're interested in joining our church family, we have the next steps available for you on our website as well. Remember, we are real people experiencing real grace. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.